Reading to you from the third chapter of Romans, and with the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Good evening, my dears and friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and that's what I've been doing this last 52 years. I don't know of anything in the world that it gives you more joy than to walk up to a lost man or lost woman and say, do you know where you're going to go when you go to, when you die? And they'll say, well, I sure hope I'm going to heaven. Listen, friends, that's not the kind of thing you need to know. You need to know that you have passed from death into life. That's what the Bible says. Then also he gives us, said the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Be with you for a half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the fourth chapter of John, and let's begin reading with the first verse. Fourth chapter, John, first verse. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria, and he came to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples have gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us a well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall come become him a well of water spring up into eternal life. Friends, I'd like to talk tonight about Jesus, the master soul winner. Friends, listen. If you don't do anything in this world, win a soul. Go to someone who's lost in sin. Go to a hospital room. Go to somewhere. There's lost people. We are surrounded by lost people. Now, I don't care whether you believe it or not. See, evangelism is the missing word in most churches. Believe me, when I was saved 52 years ago, evangelism was number one in our churches. We built five churches from the mother church that I belong to, who were actually larger than the mother church, and many, many thousands of souls were saved. Today, those churches are practically nothing. Many of them don't even give an invitation. Many of them don't even sing out of the hymn books. Friends, we're in trouble. And I'm not trying to alarm you, but we are in big trouble at our churches today. I know hundreds of people that used to be gung-ho in the church. They taught Sunday school. They were deacons today who will not darken the door of a church. Something is wrong. We have settled down to religious routines. Increase is mostly through people changing churches. They get sick and tired. And I don't want you to think I'm bragging, because I'm not. But, you know, when I was broadcasting for those 31 years on KPOF, I had my radio listening family consisted of senior citizens mostly, and a lot of young people. And they said, "Cecil, you know, you're the old school. You believe in telling people how to be saved. You believe in giving an invitation. And you believe in teaching them how to win souls and witness." I said, "That's exactly right. No, I'm not the greatest preacher. Oh, my, no. But I sure try to help encourage people to be personal evangelists and witnesses for Christ." Evangelism can return with all its joys and blessings. Let us watch a master soul winner at work. Jesus was the master soul winner. Consider his ministry to the woman at the well. See, Jesus overcoming physical condition to win a soul. Now, he said he must needs go through Samaria. Listen. The Jews and the Samaritans had nothing for each other. They actually hated each other. Now, when Jesus decided to go through Samaria, the disciples couldn't understand what he was up to, because that wasn't the preferred route for a Jew at that time. But you know, to win soul, we must be willing to go out of our way, and we must be ready for inconveniences. Changing our plans and our schedules, missing favorite TV programs, leaving our easy chairs. Jesus was weary and sat at the well. Friends, many, many, many years ago, I was pastoring a church in Oregon, Corbett, Oregon, on the Columbia River, beautiful place. And I was working myself to a nub. I was contracting, and I was pastoring this church, and I was driving 60 miles a day to work, and I tell you, I was so tired, I thought, really, I was going to have a nervous breakdown. We never had time for vacations, but I want you to know vacations are very important. Really, they are. So I started praying. I said, "Lord, where do you want me and my family to go on a vacation?" And it was very plain where we were supposed to go. I called Frida Fisher's. I used to milk cows on her little dairy, and I put myself through high school. And Frida and her daughter went with Jean and I and my kids, and we went up into Upper 8 Mile Crossing. And we were camping, and set our camp up, and we were sitting around a campfire. All of a sudden, I saw a crippled man and a woman walking across the grinder. Guess who? I said to my wife, "I know him. I went to school with him in the Dalles." "What's his name?" I said, "I can't. Daryl Lash." Well, I hollered at him, and he come over, and he didn't recognize me. But I said, "Don't you remember me?" "Oh, little Mo, how you doing?" Well, let me tell you from what happened from just that one encounter. The next morning, he came over about 5:30 and got me out of bed and says, "Come on over to the campfire and let's have coffee." He said, "What the blankety blank are you doing nowadays, Cease?" I said, "I'm a pastor of a church." And he almost swallowed his tongue. "You are a what?" I said, "I'm pastoring a church in Corbett, Oregon." "Oh," he said, "remember we used to steal watermelon?" I said, "Oh, I remember all those things. But," I said, "I don't do that anymore because I have a different life." "Well, tell him about it." So I shared Christ with him and his wife. Now, a few months later, we were to go to Mount Baker, Washington for a our Bible retreat. So I called Daryl and I said, "Daryl, how would you and your wife like to go with us?" And they went to Portland and bought a trailer, a travel trailer. I borrowed my brother's travel trailer, and we go to Mount Baker, Washington. The first night, everybody was tired, and they went to bed, and I went to the service that night. And that evangelist got up and said, "Do you really love God?" And I said to myself, "Oh, sure, I love God." "Do you really care about people going to hell?" I said to myself, "Sure, I care." When the service was over, I was walking back to my trailer. And I kicked every stone in the road. I was so upset. I went back and I got into bed and I couldn't sleep. I tossed and I turned. I got up and I put my clothes on. I looked out the window and Daryl's light was on in his trailer. I went over and I knocked on the door and he said, "Well, come on in, C's." So that night I sat and I talked to them for 2 hours about Jesus. And his wife said that she was already born again. Of course, Daryl didn't say he was because he wasn't. The next morning, we went to our big evangelistic service in this big building. Daryl and his wife and his brother-in-law, my niece and my wife and my kids, we went there. And friends, during the service, I looked over and Daryl was crying like a baby. So was his wife. I put my arm around both of them. I said, "Kids," I said, "this is where it is. Would you like to put your trust in Jesus?" And both of them did accept Christ. My niece accepted Christ. Her brother accepted Christ. I tell you, you talk about a revival meeting. That would have never happened, beloved, if we had not prayed to go where we went. And there's where we met Daryl. Oh, friends, sometimes it's difficult, but we have to change our plans and schedules. Missing favorite television program. Jesus was weary and he sat on the well. Not too weary to witness. Not too weary to care. In fatigue, sometimes we use that for an excuse. But let's consider Jesus. Now here's what he did. He breaking down the barriers to win a soul to Christ. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" For Jesus had no dealings with Samaritans. Well, listen. The woman was a Samaritan, a racial barrier. Oh, we have them today. You know something, there's a restaurant down here. My wife, I love fried chicken, and once in a while we go down there. And there's a Mexican boy. He's a man. He must be 60 years old. And he's a bus boy. And every time I go down there, I slip him $3. You say, "Well, what's $3? Well, $3, that man comes to me every time. He shakes hands, he hugs me. Now, here's a man that don't know Jesus. He's very devout in his religion, but he does know Jesus. I want to reach him for Christ. And yeah, I'm going to get one of those little Mexican Bibles and I'm going to tell him how to find Jesus." But this woman was an immoral woman, a very social barrier. Let me ask you, are you erecting barriers that keep you from witnessing? Do you shun some, fearing they might come to your church? Do you neglect some because they seem unreachable? Do you consider some beneath you or above you? All friends, listen. All people need salvation. The up and the out and the down and the out. Friends, one time I was a member of a church in Portland, Oregon. And one evening we went to church. And this man walked up and said, "Cecil, my dad's a terrible alcoholic and he's going to tear this church apart tonight. He's going to come down and run everybody out. Would you stay with me?" And so I said, yes. Me and another man stayed with him. And the church dismissed, and we sat there in the foyer waiting for him to come. Pretty soon, we heard this big double door slam open, and we heard this guy coming up the stairs. And when he got up the top of the stairs, opened the door, he had his glasses on top of his head, and he was crying. He said, "Can I find help here?" "Oh," I said, "sir, you sure can. You certainly can." So I took him and the three of us went into this, four of us went into this prayer room. And I shared my story with him. I said, "I too was an alcoholic." And I said that they'd given up on me. No one cared. Until I met a preacher that really loved Jesus. And he introduced me to Christ. That night, the four of us knelt there. And I led that old man in a sinner's prayer. Did you know, friends, a few weeks later we were having our Christmas cantata. My wife and I and family were about 5 minutes late getting to church. We had to drive quite a ways. And when we got started up the stairs, we heard this most beautiful tenor voice I ever heard in my life. Guess who it was? That old alcoholic. "Oh, friends, listen. Nobody's below us. Nobody's above us. If we really know Jesus, we cannot help but being concerned about people who are dying and going to hell. There's no difference. Everybody needs Jesus, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every blessed one of us have sinned. And we need to understand that we need to share when we find Jesus." And listen, that's your best preaching, is how you tell someone how you met Jesus. You may be God's special ministry to some needy one today. Maybe, perhaps, you are the only person in this world that can reach this man or this woman. Jesus, making the message simple to win a soul, verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said, "Dear, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Give me to drink, all understand, thirst. Living water for her spiritual thirst would end her search. Many, many, many years ago, I was invited to preach in the largest black church in Oakland, California. And so I went there on a Sunday night to preach. And before I was to preach, there was another preacher. He was a doctor of theology. He was a seminary teacher in the black seminary. I'm telling you, he preached so hard, I got so thirsty, was going through that desert, and I thought I would die for lack of water. What a preacher! And I thought, "Oh God, you don't want me to have to follow that man. I couldn't preach that way if I wanted to." And I sure did like, I wanted to. Well, when it got time for me to get up to speak, I got up and I looked out in that whole sea of black faces, not a white person in there. And I just froze, and all of a sudden, a little dark sister says, "Oh, bless him, Lord, bless him. Man, I took off like a herd of turtles. What a night that was." And when I finished, way over in the back of the church, a little black lady stood up and said, "Oh, I look over Jordan, and what I see?" And they started answering her. What a night! What an experience! Friends, listen. You and I have the answer. You and I know what it is if we're born again. Of course, if you're not born again, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Living water for her spiritual thirst would end her search. Not our task to make the simple difficult. The opposite. Go to someone with a simple message of, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16 is the key. Everybody understands that. Everybody can understand God's love. Not everybody does it, but they understand it. Jesus brushing aside a religious argument to win a soul in verse 19. And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship for what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship in the Father in the Spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Now listen. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, you say. The woman wanted a religious argument, but Jesus would not go for it. An ounce of testimony is worth a pound of argument. Let me say that again. An ounce of testimony is worth a pound of argument. Get to the point. Lead that soul to Christ. Listen, the converted woman became an evangelist. And I read in verse 27. "And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why do you speak to her?' So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to them, 'Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?' They went out of the city and were coming to him. In the meantime, the disciples were requesting him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' And he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.' The disciples therefore were saying one another, 'No one brought him anything to eat, did he?' Jesus said, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work.'" And listen, this is one that really touches me. Do not say there are yet 4 months, and then comes a harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white to harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Friends, Jesus brings people to Christ, but this dear lady who was a harlot, who wasn't even married to the man she was living with, she went out and said, "Is this the Christ that we've been talking about?" And lo and behold, here they came. And many others believed because of his word. Soul winning is satisfying. In 32, "But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.'" Oh, listen, sowers and reapers rejoice together. In 36, "Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." Beloved friends, listen, I've had so many opportunities to lead souls to Christ. I've not always taken advantage of them. I don't want you to think I'm really a great soul winner. But I've written a book. Hey, James, just one more story. Many, many stories, real life stories of people I've had the privilege of introducing to Christ. Many of them are in heaven today. Oh, many of them are in heaven today. Some of them are still alive and serving the Lord on this earth, as well as I. Friends, let me ask you tonight, would you like to commit your life to being a personal evangelist for the Lord? If so, bow your head to me right now, would you? Oh, God, I pray for these dear ones who've bowed their head before you right now. Lord, some of them have never tried. They were been afraid. The devil's told them they weren't smart enough or they weren't good enough. Tonight, Lord, fill their heart with your blessed Holy Spirit. Put a desire in their heart to win souls more than anything in the world. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You say, "Cecil, wait a minute. You know, I'm not even born again. I don't even know the Lord." Well, listen to me. If you're lost and on the road to hell, you need to do something tonight. You need to come to Christ. You may never get another opportunity. And if you'd like to pray this prayer and you feel it tugging at your heart, I want you to pray this prayer. But do not, oh, please don't pray this if you don't mean it. And here's how it goes. Precious Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my wasted life. I'm sorry for the things I've done to you and my family and loved ones. Tonight, Lord, I am opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, won't you call me at 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you, and I sure won't write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I am concerned where you spend eternity. Friends, if you can't afford to call and you want to talk to me, you call collect. I'll accept the charge. Friends, listen. Jesus is coming back soon. Oh, he's coming real soon. Are you ready? If not, get ready. If you'd like to talk to me, please give me a call. I'll talk to you tonight. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, please take this message to your heart. If you know Jesus, you need to get busy. Age means nothing. Looks means nothing. If you know John 3:16 and you're born again, you got an ammunition to win the world. Use what you got. Oh, he'll give you more. He'll give you souls for your hire. I know because he's done it for me, and I'm now an old converted drunk. That's all I am. I'm not special, but I do love Jesus. Well, listen, until this time next Sunday night, be sure and pray for me and my wife and my health, and pray for my quartet as we go to prison and rescue missions. And stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.